Hey, this is Les from the TV Dudes. Recently, I was able to sit down and talk with Kate Lambert and Catherine Renee Thomas from the TV Land comedy series Teachers. Join me as I ask Kate Lambert about her cat and learn a lesson about research. We also discuss the difficulties of moving from sketch to television and the benefit of having jobs you hate before you make it. Hope you enjoy.
Thank you so much for doing this interview. I'm really happy to get to talk to you all.
Of course, thanks for having us.
I'm here with Catherine Renee Thomas, who plays Deb on Teachers, and I'm also here with Kate Lambert, who plays Carolyn Watson. I've gotten to watch a few episodes of the show and really enjoyed it. I wanted to, first of all, I wanted to ask Kate Lambert, how is Piccadilly doing?
Oh, he actually passed away.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. No, that's okay. He passed away actually when we were filming in March. He got sick and he lived almost 15 years. So he had a nice long life with me. So that's okay. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'd seen a picture of him in the bow tie and thought I have to ask about that cat.
Oh, absolutely. No, I love dressing up at bow ties. I have a dog now named George, who I have carried on the tradition with of the bow ties as well. You got to have an animal in a bow tie. You know, you need a business pet.
You do. I have a collie with a seersucker bow tie. It's great.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, I was about to say George has a little gingham bow tie.
That's great. So I wanted to ask, is there a moment that you remember all really clicking together as an improv group? I know you came together kind of as a one-off show that turned into obviously so much more. Is there a moment where it really kind of all gelled for you together, that this was going to work as a big group?
Yeah, I think that, honestly, I know this sounds super cheesy, but the first time we played together, there was something. It's funny, there's this one scene we always talk about in the first improv show we ever did, which was back in, I think, late. We're always having a hard time pinpointing the actual date, the actual time we got together. It was either the end of 2008 or the beginning of 2009. And some of us met for the very first time right before we did that show. We just got together. It was a tiny show. And we did this scene. For a while, there was this commercial. It was a birth control commercial. And it was, there were a bunch of synchronized swimmers in it. And it was NuvaRing. And someone initiated a NuvaRing synchronized swimming commercial bit in one of our scenes. And everyone jumped on it immediately, like super, super hardcore. Everyone was on board right away. And it was really bizarro. I'm not really sure where the scene went. I don't remember. But I remember this moment where I was like, these girls are great. This is really it. We talk about that scene a lot. But I think like maybe when we really realized it was a group that we wanted to put more attention into, it was about six months later, maybe 8 months later, when we had done a handful of these one-off shows and we're like, oh, these are the shows we're having the most fun at. And so started to take it more seriously.
Kate Lambert, you've spoken in interviews about living in Chicago and working the kind of jobs that give you time to audition, but yet not auditioning before you started doing improv. Can I ask, is there a moment that pushed you over that line of that impetus of I have to do this, or I can't not do this?
Yeah, I think actually I'm always so grateful for those years where I worked those day jobs and didn't audition, because it made me not want to go back to those jobs, you know, that I had, just because it was like, okay, like this is the one thing that really fulfills me. And so I think having that experience of doing that grind, maybe a job you didn't love, makes you so much more grateful for the job that you finally get. And I also think I'm really grateful to those jobs too, because it gave me a lot of life experience and humor, and the people I met at the job I became really good friends with. So all of those things I'm actually glad for. I almost think that starting improv at age, I think 25 maybe is when I started. So I was in the city for like a couple years before that. It was good for me because, you know, I wanted it more. I was hungrier for it, and I was willing to work as hard as I possibly could in order to achieve it. So I guess the fear was good for me ultimately, you know, being too scared to audition and stuff. And then I think when I finally started at Second City, which is, I took improv for actors there and I loved it so much. And I was like, I had never really done improv before that, you know, aside from like warm-up exercises. And I was like, yeah, this is it for me. I feel like this is where I can sort of like enter into, you know, this world that we're currently in.
Catherine, is there a show or a moment or a sketch you remember on stage that really solidified it for you that I can't not do this?
Yeah, I mean, I think I always wanted to pursue acting in some capacity. I got my BFA in theater and had plans to move to New York out of college. I went to the University of Michigan, and I stayed at home for about a year in the Detroit suburbs, making a lot of excuses as to why I couldn't move to New York yet. It was like saving money. I've got to lose weight. Legitimately, I was thinking, I need to get a serving job here so that when I move to New York, I can get a serving job more easily because that's what actors do. They wait tables. You know, and I was coming up with all these like crazy excuses. And I actually started taking classes at the Second City in Detroit because they had a theater there for about 10 years. Keegan-Michael Key came out of there and Mary Beth Monroe came out of there. Sam Richardson and Tim Robinson of Detroiters. So a lot of great people came out of that theater and I started taking classes there. And I've been going down there to see shows my whole life. Like my parents were taking me down there and they took me to Chicago, Toronto, Second City. And for some reason, it never occurred to me to just go do comedy classes, even though I've been cast in the weird, quirky roles all through college. And I started taking classes and I got involved in the Detroit improv community. And there was this one theater called the Improv Inferno that's no longer there, but was in Ann Arbor, and they invited me to be a cast member. And it was then that I was like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be doing sketch and improv, not move to New York to do this thing. And I just kind of said, screw New York. I stayed in Detroit for a few years and then moved to Chicago. So yeah, it was really like this thing that came out of fear of moving to New York. But I think it was maybe not so much fear, but just kind of fighting what I thought I was supposed to do, but didn't really want to do.
There's got to be a learning curve, surely, from moving from web series to television series. And I know y'all have had some wonderful showrunners and guidance in doing that. Has there been any problem or particular joy that has come out of getting to expand into a longer narrative?
Well, I think the big thing that we did right away is we made sure to even more clearly define our characters from the web series. I think that some of them could be a little interchangeable in the web series as far as like, you know, right now I think they're very distinct. And so we just made sure to do that when we went to, you know, a half-hour sitcom because we wanted people to not have to play catch-up at all. We wanted to be very clear who these people were, that they were very six different women, but at the same time who were not only like, you know, coworkers, but friends.
Yeah, and to put them in a very relatable environment that you didn't have to explain. Like everyone knows in our country what an elementary school is, and everyone has a sense of that. Pretty much everyone has been to elementary school. And that was part of what really worked for us in the web series is there wasn't a lot of setup. We didn't have to say like, well, these are people and this is where they live and this is what their job is like, because you just immediately know. And then when we went into writing the TV series and we had these characters more well-defined, I think the most challenging part for us was that structure because, you know, we were, again, web series were short. They were generally under a minute. And we were writing sketch comedy. So that was generally under 5 minutes. So I think the biggest struggle for us was just kind of figuring out how we stretch it into a 21-minute story and not make it super repetitive or and also finding a balance between kind of wacky and grounded. Now we want to stay true to the reality of an elementary school and the experiences of teachers, but we also need to heighten it to take it to like a fun, crazy place so people want to watch the show and we can make people laugh. So it's been a balancing act and definitely we've learned a lot. And now that we're in our third season, you know, it's still hard, but we really feel like we've had a master class in TV making these last few years. And we really feel like we should have at least a master's in this, right? I won't say PhD quite yet, but we're getting there.
A diploma of some kind.
Yeah.
Catherine Renee Thomas, every time I think of Deb, I think of her just shutting Rob Riggle down in the Picture Day episode. Has there been a moment on set or in the script where you've you've thought, oh, that's too far. We're laughing, but I got to pull it back some?
I think by the time it gets to the script we're using to our production draft, we've usually cut out as much of the stuff that feels like we're crossing a line as possible. I think we definitely push it a little too far in the room sometimes, but we're pretty good at catching ourselves and being sensitive. We never want it to feel like the children especially are in danger or that we're not actually the kids are actually getting an education. We want to make sure that it never feels like we're really, really bad people or really, really bad teachers. I will say that with Riggle, he was amazing. He came in and we clearly wrote him as a raging pervert. And we had written some even darker, more intense stuff for him. But when he came in, you know, he's a big guy. He's an ex-Navy SEAL, right, or Marine. And, yeah, he's a huge dude. And then he was playing against Caitlin, who's tiny. She's the shortest girl in the group. She's the tiniest girl in the group. She's, you know, 5'2", petite. And he said he'd do it, but there were certain things he didn't feel like he wanted to say that we had written. So he did alter some of those lines because he felt like it would feel a little too rapey or a little too aggressive. And I think he was really right with that. And I think that was a lesson I think we probably learned from is like knowing who's saying the lines can really affect the intention behind them or how the intention reads anyway. So we have a pretty good radar. If you say it on set, we generally know immediately like, yep, that's not going to make it. That's too much.
So what's about to premiere now is the second half of season 2, correct?
Yes.
Was there a reason for the splitting of the seasons? Was that due to TV Land or was that to get time to write or?
Yeah, well, it was a TV Land decision for us to air it with a mid-season break. We didn't know how long the break was going to be originally, but we knew fairly early on that it wasn't going to be 20 in a row, which was really great for us, actually, because we're writing, producing, and acting, we can't be writing while we're shooting. I mean, we have had that experience partially last season. We did end up having to catch up a little bit when we started shooting with our writing, but we can't do it all at once. So for us, it was really nice because we were able to take a few months, write the first 10 episodes, shoot those 10 episodes. So we took a break from the writer's room and shot. And then we went back to the writer's room for another few months and wrote the back 10 episodes and then went and shot them, which was great because I think going in and shooting those 10 between the two writing periods really was a good break for us so we could shift our brain more into producer, actor, editor mode and take a break from the writing because the writing does get tedious after a while. It's like you need a little bit of a break to refresh and restore and get new ideas because when you're sitting in a room all the time, it starts to get a little tricky. So it actually ended up really working to our advantage.
And we also help with the editing too, you know, which is a process even after we're done shooting. So yeah, it was nice to be able to have that little break.
Going into season 3, are you thinking you might do something similar or would that kind of be up to the network?
Yeah, season 3, we're actually doing, right now we're writing the first 10 episodes of season 3, then we'll shoot the 10, and then we'll write the next 10 and then shoot them. So it's going to be similar.
Yeah, and as far as we know at this point, they will be aired in chunks of 10, like this year, season-wise.
Mm-hmm.
With the group as large and talented as y'all all are, do you have any plans beyond teachers? Is there a Wu-Tang plan to take over the world from the Katydids?
we cannot reveal that.
You know, I think it's like I think that one of the important things I feel like this group has always recognized and that we all try to recognize as a group and as individuals is that we are made up of individuals and everyone has different goals and wants for themselves. And, you know, people are going to write things on their own and audition for small spots and other things. I think everyone's really supportive of that. And, you know, it's important that we do this show that we love so much, but that people also go off and get to do things on their own, too.
Yeah, we wrote actually between the first and the second season, before the second season was picked up, we wrote a pilot for NBC that got, we sold the pilot. It didn't end up getting shot, but we wrote it as the Katydids. And a few of the girls, first three of us that moved out here, got a meeting to, and were set up to sell us, they sold a script that the three of them wrote for a feature for the six of us to be in. I think it kind of hit a standstill, so not sure that that'll ever happen. But so we've had all these other projects as a group, and I think at this point we have so much going on with teachers. I mean, even doing our own individual stuff is impossible. People always ask what you're writing, and it's like I literally have zero time outside of teachers. So
I just go home and watch Chopped. I'm not working.
Yeah, I watch some really dark drama when I get home with my husband, and then I get back to work. So it's hard on teachers. So, you know, we'll, hopefully teachers will go for another, who knows how many seasons, handful of seasons, and we'll see what comes next.
So I have to ask, what's the dark palate cleanser to writing a lighthearted show?
Oh, my gosh. Well, for me, I mean, we definitely, my husband and I are definitely Game of Thrones people. We watch Walking Dead, even though, to be honest, I think it really sucks now. We are watching Mindhunter on Netflix right now, which is super dark.
Mm-hmm. I binge watched The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, Handmaid's Tale, sure. Yeah.
I find that I watch less comedy, even though I write comedy. Yeah. Like, I think because we live it all day, we go home and watch, like, you know. I'm watching The Staircase right now, the documentary, and I watched The Jinx. I'm, like, the last person in the world to watch The Jinx, but I watched that before that, so... A lot of dark documentaries.
We've got a lot of serial killer fans in our group. It's a little weird, but I think that's not super uncommon. I think women especially get kind of fascinated with that stuff. But I think between the six of us, we go home after working in the writer's room and we're watching really dark stuff or reality TV or like Kate's definitely a Home and Garden Network or HGTV fan, right?
Yes, I used to watch a ton of HGTV. I still do, but I'm really into Chopped now, even though I don't cook. I have no idea what they're doing, and sometimes I'm like, that's a terrible idea, but I have no idea what's going on. I microwave things. That's it.
So I had one last question. It's been a long couple of years of celebrity loss, and with Tom Petty just recently and Robert Guillaume today.
Oh, yeah. Listen.
Who do you think would be the celebrity that would cause your individual teachers to miss the day or the week?
Oh, I can tell you without a doubt. You mean like someone who's currently alive?
Yeah. Where the loss would just mean you're subbing that class tomorrow.
Oh, Martha Stewart for my character, without a doubt. She'd take a month off.
Yeah, I think Adler, it already happened, with Bowie. I think that would be a big one for her, but, maybe at this point, I feel like Robert Smith of The Cure, or maybe like Martin Gore from Depeche Mode, someone from like a new wave band from the 80s, like a dark lead singer somewhere.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Oh,
it's been so fun getting to chat with y'all.
Of course.
No, thank you for chatting with us.
Thank you. And thank you for asking about Piccadilly.
I am
nice
so sorry that I led with the question about
your No, it's truly, please don't apologize. It was nice to hear his name.
Oh, I saw the photo and thought, you know, I'm going to write that question down. And the little voice in my head went, you are timing-wise probably going to regret this.
No. He was my best little pal. So I always enjoy talking about him.
Oh. Well, thank you so much, and congratulations on season 3. I can't wait to see the back half of season 2, and continued success.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Hi. Bye. We'll be right back.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.